Good morning, National FFA. My name is Sophia.
I'm Eliza.
I'm Shaylee.
And I'm Taylor. And it is our privilege to introduce you to someone very special.
Whenever we think of Miriam, the first thing that comes to mind is her extreme love for cows and cover crops.
Or the early morning car ride spent drinking tons of Red Bull and listening to any classic country or rock band music.
The hours of blooper reels from filming convention videos when we all served as state officers together.
And of course, the many trips and reunions spent uncontrollably laughing, whether or not we really had any reason to.
But what we cherish most about Miriam is what she does for others. In the past 5 years that we've known Miriam, every person that she meets is her friend.
She loves big, showing empathy that makes others feel valued and heard. Just by being her, she has elevated the quality of our lives, and I know the same could be said for many of you.
She embraces the complexity in the world around her and uses her voice and actions to fulfill her values and live with purpose.
Here to share a message of progress born of tradition, it's our privilege to introduce you to our friend,
our roommate,
our teammate,
our unofficial sister,
and your 2020-2021 National FFA Eastern Region Vice President,
Miriam Hoffman!
Shining. That smell of nearly harvest ready corn floats in the windows of the 93 Cummins rolled down, and it chases away that less than ideal broken air vent smell that normally fills the old truck cab. It's the perfect place for a jam session. Anybody else love some road trip karaoke? Oh yeah, me too. We're headed west on Highway 34, my brother Paul in the driver's seat, and we got a trailer full of cattle on the way to a show. This is the best place in the world, but all of a sudden, something unexpected happens. That perfect place for a jam session is quickly interrupted by a sudden bang, followed by a horrific grinding sound as a flat tire on the trailer brings us to an uncomfortable halt. Paul hops out of the side of the truck, and he hops around to the gooseneck of the trailer, to the side door to grab a spare tire. But as he opens the side door, expecting to find a spare tire conveniently located, easy to reach, instead, he finds a wall of a bale of hay. Now, Paul knows that I packed the trailer the night before, and so as his eyes turn towards me, I'm hit with this sickening feeling. Y'all know the one. It's where a decision that you made in the past, that at the time seemed super duper smart, now turns out to have been utter blindness because you missed the most important thing. You see, when I packed that trailer the night before, I made one of those decisions that I thought was really smart, but I didn't realize it would actually end up setting us back. But see, maybe you've had a similar experience where you clean out your FFA jacket pockets before an FFA contest so you look all crisp and shiny and good in this blue corduroy. But then you get to the contest and you realize you no longer have a pencil in your pocket so you can't actually do the contest. Or maybe some of y'all have done this just this week. You pack your suitcase for convention and you're proud of yourself because you could win the lightest suitcase award. But then as you go to put on your official dress for the session, you realize the reason your suitcase is so light is because you don't have your official dress shoes. It happens to the best of us. But part of what makes these moments so uncomfortable is that we know that we're the only ones to blame. And so that's where I was, standing on the edge of Highway 34, my brother's eyes still turned towards me, as I realized that I am the only one to blame for the fact that we can't reach that spare tire, and we've still got a trailer full of cattle, mind you, and we're not even halfway to the show. So the night before, let me take us back. The night before, as I was packing this trailer, I saw that spare tire there by the side door. And here's what y'all need to know if you haven't packed a trailer before. It's one of those things that it's hot, it's tiring, and it's one of those jobs that you get done as quickly as you can. So naturally, I became the queen of efficiency. So when I saw that spare tire there by the side door that really didn't make sense to be there, I don't know why Paul traditionally put it there, I just shoved it up to the front of the gooseneck. Then I see that water tank, just drop it on top of the tire. Stack of milk buckets fit perfectly inside that water tank, and that bale of hay slide it in next to the side door, close the gate, pat myself on the back, because I got this down to a science. But Paul, I know you're out here right now. How you doing? And what Paul is probably thinking to himself right now is, yeah, Miriam, scientifically wrong. Because standing on the edge of Highway 34 with a trailer full of cattle and a flat tire and the spare tire being under a water tank and stack of milk buckets across the side door from a bale of hay is nothing close to efficiency. How often do we look at the way that things are done in this world, and we're confident that we know a better way? I think especially as young people, it's really easy for us to look at something like traditions and point out all the reasons that they're old and irrelevant and that we shouldn't do them anymore. We want to make change for the sake of progress. But what if change that overlooks tradition actually isn't true progress? See, when I moved that spare tire, I thought that I was making progress because it seemed like it was more efficient, but because I never stopped to ask why that tire had a traditional place, I actually set us back. Change that overlooks tradition is not true progress. But packing the trailer for a cattle show and making decisions in our lives are two entirely different things. How can we know that the choices that we make will lead to true progress? What if we could have some sort of compass or a guide to help us know what those decisions should look like? Well, lucky for us, we're FFA members, and I think we have that. It starts with the words, "I believe," it ends with that inspiring task, and it's packed full of five paragraphs of wisdom in the middle. Our FFA creed is spoken by members everywhere, from Alaska to South Dakota to the Virgin Islands. Oh yeah, I hear y'all out there. From Maine to Tennessee to Wyoming to Hawaii, as we speak the words of what it means to work hard, to serve people, and to advance agriculture. No matter the language that it's spoken in, whether it's to an audience of 1,000 or one, our creed is deeply meaningful. And it's not simply a set of words that we memorize and recite for a contest. One of the reasons that I think it's so meaningful is because when we don't overlook it, it can serve as that compass for us to know how to make change. Because as important as tradition is, there is no denying that change is necessary. Just think about it. If nothing in the world ever changed, we might be hopping into covered wagons to head to convention. We'd be sending carrier pigeons to our friends back home instead of live streaming. And this one, it might be the worst of all. You'd have to ask that cute boy for his mailing address instead of his Snapchat to stay in touch. Yikes. Clearly, we need change. But knowing how to make change that doesn't overlook tradition is difficult. It's especially difficult when it involves family. Do y'all have any of those ongoing debates with your siblings, or maybe it's someone else in your family that you only have because you love each other, but somehow you never quite reach a resolution? For my siblings and I, this debate is over what decisions to make on the family farm. For as long as I can remember, we have made decisions based on two key mantras. The first is that farming is a journey, not a destination. And the second is that it's always more about people than cattle. And while those values may seem pretty simple, making decisions to honor those values gets a little bit trickier. And so my siblings and I will debate, what do we change on the farm? Do we change our herd size? Do we change our tillage practices? Or what do we keep the same? Do we always keep the same breeding program? Do we grow the same crops on the same number of acres every year? But as messy as that decision-making process may be, there is one thing that we'd never argue about. each of us still care deeply about preserving tradition on the farm. So no matter what those end decisions look like, at the end of the day, we will only make change that honors tradition. Because this is the way to make true progress that both our parents would be proud of and our future children will thank us for. But now at this point, you may be thinking to yourself, okay, Miriam, we see it, we get it. But what if I'm not in charge of preserving some family tradition, or I'm not at the helm of some organization that's trying to make change? What does this look like for me personally in my life? And y'all, that's a good question. And that's why I'd like us to explore it next. Because I am beginning to learn that traditions actually influence our personal lives a lot more than we may realize. Picture with me a traditionally successful high school senior in FFA. I tend to think about someone who probably has good grades, they're involved in sports teams, National Honor Society, student council, probably get voted on at homecoming, prom court, and by the time they graduate, they've got scholarship offers from several universities. Do y'all tend to think about the same kind of thing? But maybe we're not all meant to follow that traditional path to success. Or maybe, let's take it one step further, maybe all along we've been defining tradition incorrectly. My friend Lane chose to look at tradition in a whole new way, but it's resulted in painful criticism. By the time Lane graduated from high school, he fit that successful FFA member description to a T. He also held his family's values close. Values of tradition and community and grit. But seeing as how many of his peers were heading to a four-year university, he did the same. 3 months later, he dropped out. Even as Lane headed to trade school to gain his certificate in welding, people who he thought were his supportive friends started hurling hurtful words his way. They told him things like, "You are wasting your scholarships. What about all those FFA members who still look up to you as an example? Your family should be disappointed in you. How can you throw away tradition like this?" What the critics couldn't see, though, is that Lane's life decisions weren't throwing away or overlooking tradition. They were honoring tradition. You see, I think for many of us, we've grown to see going to college as the only way to honor a tradition of achievement and hard work. And for many, it is. College is a place for many of us to thrive and to develop into our full potential. But for others, college is not that place. And Lane, he gets it. Lane sees that the real tradition in his family, it's not going to college because everyone else is going to college. It's taking the path that requires grit and that will allow him to develop his talents to best serve people. For some, dropping out would absolutely be overlooking tradition and slacking off, but for Lane, it is progress. And it's this progress that has led him to complete his welding certificate, to work in the trade for a while, and now, get this. Lane is working in a position at his community's bank that technically requires a 4-year college degree. But Lane got hired because he lived out traditions. The bank watched him walk through the doors every week with grease on his jeans and dirt under his fingernails, and they could see that he would honor a tradition of grit. They watched the way that he treated the people around him, and they could see that he honored a tradition of community, and Lane was going to stick around. Lane is making progress in his life because he's making careful changes that still honor tradition. Some people still think that Lane made a mistake, but his character says otherwise. And when I tell you that I look up to Lane, I mean that with my whole heart. Where are you blindly following what you think is tradition, but is actually just the easy path to take because everyone else that you know who looks like you and acts like you and is like you is taking it too? It's time to reevaluate because we owe it to both our ancestors and to future generations to make progress. And sometimes That progress will look like embracing change. And other times, it will look like standing firm and holding our ground. This wild ride of a year has taught me many things. You have taught me many things, but perhaps the greatest lesson is this. Our world and our organization desperately need a way to navigate this tricky balance of tradition and change. You have told me that you value both, and I am with you. And the delegates at the 63rd National FFA Convention and Expo in the year 1990, they are with you too. The delegates that year had power in their hands. They had the power to change the entire FFA creed. The board of directors had already approved a new creed, and the only step left to making history was for those delegates to vote yes to a new creed, yes to change, yes to progress. But would it be true progress? Would it truly be progress to tear down an already strong foundation in order to build a new one from scratch? Would it truly be progress if it took decades for supporters to recognize the words of the creed again? Would it truly be progress to lose the unity across time that only comes from generation after generation of FFA members speaking the same words of what it means to be an FFA member? The delegates voted no. But before we judge them for standing in the way of progress, listen in to what they did next. Recognizing that the agriculture industry is continually shifting, that the farm economy at that point was in a desperately low state, and that certain elements of the original creed no longer reflected the current needs of FFA members, nor the industry of agriculture that we were founded upon, these delegates proposed and approved small revisions to the creed, changing words like farm and farming to agriculture and agricultural pursuits. Instead of becoming a headline, these delegates became the fine print at the bottom of a page. But I believe they made more meaningful progress through those small changes than a headlining new creed ever could. Why? Because they didn't selfishly make change simply to be known for making change. They stopped to ask why that spare tire has a traditional place before they tried to move it. They stopped to ask why the creed is so meaningful before they tried to change it. And when they did make those changes, those small changes, it was to better reflect the original intent of the agriculture instructor who penned those words decades earlier. Because when Irwin Milton Tiffany wrote our FFA creed, he believed in many ideas. And one of those is that the FFA stands solid because of, not in spite of, its connection to agriculture. And that its words, the words of the creed, only truly come alive through the efficient work and the clear thinking of the members who speak its words. I am deeply grateful to those delegates for the same reason that my siblings and I care so much about preserving tradition on our family's farm. It's how we feel connected to our father, even after he passed away when we were young. I wear my dad's green hand degree here in my jacket, and because those delegates chose to keep our original creed, that means that 60 years apart, my father and I, we never got to hear each other say the words of the creed, but we spoke almost exactly the same set of words to earn our green hand degrees. And this serves as a reminder to me to not selfishly make change, simply to be known for making change. And those values that guide decisions on our family's farm, those are ones that our father used to speak. But now that he's not here to say those words anymore, we use those values to guide the decisions that we make so that we make changes that honor the foundation that he built and left for us. Because our father worked hard to cultivate those traditions. Who are we to disregard them? For my family, it's our father. For the FFA, it's our creed. What is it for you that is your reason and your reminder to honor tradition even as you pursue progress. Perhaps it's a community you're a part of, a person you've taken for granted. Maybe it's your heritage. Maybe it's this blue jacket we get to wear, or simply the knowledge that each of us will leave a legacy, and it is only up to us to determine what type of legacy that will be. Everywhere that we see our FFA emblem, we see at the center a rising sun. Our ceremonies tell us that the rising sun is the token of a new era in agriculture. It's the token of progress. So every time you see that token of progress, remember to ask why the spare tire has a traditional place before you try to move it. Don't overlook tradition. Each morning when you watch the sun rise on whatever beautiful slice of this planet you get to call home, remember my friend Lane, and choose to make change that honors tradition, even if you're criticized for it. Let the glorious sunlight of each day remind you of those delegates at the 63rd National FFA Convention and Expo, and don't selfishly make change simply to be known for making change. You might become the fine print instead of the headline, but I promise you, it will be worth it. Yes, choose change, and yes, choose tradition, because when we choose both, we choose true progress. National FFA, as the sun is setting on my own FFA career, I continue to believe in your rising sun because I believe in true progress, and I believe in you, and I believe in your ability to make change that honors tradition, and that, my friends, will always be the most inspiring task.
Hey friend, we are in awe of your heart that never fails to see the best in people. From getting us up early for an early morning coffee shop run, to educating us on all things cover crops, this year you've embraced your complexity, but along the way, you've always celebrated ours. This year you've been an advocate for what matters to you most, and you've reminded us just how connected this world is through your personal discipline and your curiosity. Your commitment to growth inspires us and those that you meet. Even if we scoured every thrift store in the world, we'd never find someone as unique and irreplaceable as you. Thank you for bringing your most authentic and insightful self to this organization. We know that this team wouldn't be the same without your presence. No matter how far apart, we'll always be together at heart. Love, Doster, Artha, David, Anna, and Paxton. Members and guests, your 2020-2021 Eastern Region Vice President, Miriam Hoffman.